Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Thursday, February 8th, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, review our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-Revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes long and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. All right, let us begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we praise Thee, we thank Thee, and we ask Thee that you put into our hearts the ability to redeem the time, that we may be a fruitful witness of thine. Father, we beseech of thee now that you bless us and lead us into the truth as we come again to look into thy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll pick up where we left off last night. Okay, we're looking at the calendar. Last night we looked in at the church age, and we looked at the fig tree and leaf. And the next period of time we're going to look at is a period of time called the beginning of sorrows, which we've discovered is between 1988 and 1994. So let's take a look at that. And now, the beginning of sorrows, and for a more in-depth understanding, you can listen to the audio study, Beginning of Sorrows. It's a two-part, and also 2300 days, because that is the time period that the beginning of sorrows is discovered in. So you can find that on nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-studies-0. But let me just show online here. You just come under Education Starts Here, come down to Bible Studies, click on that, and then this is where a lot of Bible studies are. And to get to the Book of Revelation study, you'd click on this link here. But the studies we're going to refer to particularly in this calendar study is going to be on this page. So okay, the beginning of sorrows. We read about this in Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or Christian, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. And the end in view, you'll discover if you go into these other studies, and we probably covered this also early on in the study of Revelation, the end that is in focus is the end of the church age, ultimately. But it also brings us into the end of the world, too, but it's a long period of time. But it's the end of the church age is what's in view. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and killed. Now, beginning of sorrows, again, and we're going to look at Daniel. Daniel gives us the time period of this time. And as we look at the calendar and look at other things, you're going to see how all of this starts to fit together. But again, you know, for an in-depth study on these things, these studies have already been done. Probably covered a lot of Greek words and Hebrew words. I know all the studies that I've got up there, we really get a lot more deeper into the Greek and the Hebrew so that we can get closer to the, I guess you'd call it, the root of the word. So so these are the beginning of sorrows. And this time period is leading into great tribulation. And again, you know, in the world you'll have tribulation. Tribulation is part of Christian life. But now there's tribulation that's focusing in on a judgment at the same time. Of course, the body of Christ is going to suffer tribulation because they're going to get more and more rejected. and eventually silenced. And we see the word that God gives us is to be killed, the two witnesses being killed. And we read in the Bible that we are killed all the day long, and to be killed is to be silenced. Okay, so looking at this time period, afflicted and kill you, Daniel chapter 8, verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Okay, so that period of time, the language is the key here to tell us when this is, because this is the time period when we're going to go into transgression, when the daily sacrifice is going to be removed, and the transgression of the desolation. In other words, the body of Christ eventually will leave the church and leave the church desolate, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. The sanctuary is the place where the gospel is to be preached. The host is really the body of Christ bringing the gospel, you know, the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ bringing the gospel. That's the host, and that's going to be trodden underfoot. And the time period is said to be 2,300 days. Hang on a second, Eric. All right, I'm sorry for that. hang on. Okay, so this is the beginning of sorrows. So the question becomes, again, and we've already looked at this, but the question becomes, when is the daily sacrifice taken away? When is the transgression of desolation? And therefore, when is the beginning of sorrows? The beginning of sorrows is before that time period, the transgression. And again, for a deeper study, because I go very deep into the study on the beginning of sorrows, it's a two-part study, and the 2,300 days, which is a one-part study. So let's get back up to the calendar, and we'll take another look at this. The beginning of sorrows is a period of 42 months. It's referred to at some point in time as 1,260 days, but it's 2,300 days, literally day and night. But again, it's identifying with the half of seven. We do see at some point in another place where 1,260 days is actually used, but usually it's half. Half of seven is generally the picture, or 42 months might be the picture. 42 months, 1,260 days is literally the same thing, of course. Okay, but this is a 2,300-day period. Okay, the next thing we're going to look at, and this is where the desolation is going to come, the transgression is going to come, to be trodden under the foot, is under the Great Tribulation. So the Great Tribulation, the word great is megas, great, large, worldwide. In other words, it's not necessarily in intensity as much as it is in that it's everywhere. That's the large that is in view, it's worldwide. It's the abomination of desolation, which is causing great affliction. And again, remember, the body of Christ is being silenced, and in the world you'll have tribulation, and that is the tribulation, to be assaulted, to be shut down, to be silenced. And again, for a more in-depth understanding of this, you can listen to the audio study, Great Tribulation. It's three parts, and again, you'll find it on that page under Bible Studies on National Liberty Alliance. Okay, the nature of the Great Tribulation is false Christ, false teachers, the removal of the candlestick, the abomination of desolation, takes seat, and Satan takes seat in the temple, great affliction, two witnesses are killed, distress, persecution, famine, plagues, earthquakes, fire, brimstone, and sword. And that most of that identifies, of course, with judgment. You know, this is a self-murder thing. The corporate church is actually committing self-murder. It's committing suicide, so to speak, because it's silencing the life inside that church. It's silencing the body of Christ, the gospel, the Holy Spirit. And of course, those bringing that is going to fall under distress, persecution. There'll be famine in that place. the plagues, bringing in the false doctrines, the earthquakes, not one stone left upon another, fire identifying with judgment, brimstone identifying with judgment, and the sword, which is two-edged, and it's a two-edged sword. So this phrase is used four times in the Bible, megas tribulus, and exceedingly great, and the affliction. In Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, we read, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all of his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction. And our father found no substance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first." Okay, and corn is identifying ultimately with the gospel. It's the spiritual food that's in view. But it's no longer, you know, this is it now in Egypt. So he's going to go to Egypt in order to have this. You know, when we read in, I know we've read this before, we're probably going to come to it again, a picture of the boat, the shipwreck. And in the shipwreck, one of the things to lighten the ship, they were throwing different things out of the ship to lighten the ship before it actually broke open and they had to swim to shore. But one of the things they threw overboard was wheat. They threw over the wheat. And where did it go? They threw the wheat into the sea. And the sea identifies with the world. So they put it out into the world. And here is a picture, you know, later on we see that picture of the body of Christ, the saints, standing on the sea of glass with harps, bringing forth the message of God's word. In other words, the Bible is never totally silenced in this world. And the Bible will continue to go forward until the very last person is saved. And so there'll always be hope as long as there's time, as long as the judgment day has not come yet. There's hope. And people can still become saved and cried out to the Lord, you know, for mercy. Okay, in Revelation chapter 2, verses 19 through 23, we read, "I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest thou that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, spiritual fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation." And that, of course, is the identifying with the time period that we're looking at, which is between 1994. And it actually goes up to 2017, but the body of Christ comes out, we're going to see that picture shortly, somewhere between 2001 and 2011. But then there's that double portion. So, you know, the tribulation, or shall I say judgment, really, is upon the church, and it continues to be upon the church. And today, where are we at? We're way up there in 2024 now. And all that time period from 2017 to now and to the end of the world, whenever that is, there's going to be a continuation of judgment upon the church. They're going to continue in a dead church, or, you know, worshiping another Jesus, not having not having that salvation, not having that peace that goes beyond understanding. And that's what's called the double portion, which we're going to look at that a little more at that little while. Okay. I don't think I finished reading this, so let me go back. "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins of the heart. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works." So we go back here, except they repent of their deeds. And of course, you know, they would have to hear the gospel at some point outside of the Great Tribulation. And then they could respond and, of course, come out. So I think people are constantly coming out of the church. And, you know, I think people for a very long time really have left the church. And, you know, because for numerous reasons, mostly because it's just not the way it should be. But, you know, a lot of people have left the church, and it's not necessarily they left the church for the right reason, though. Okay, Revelation 7, verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessings, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God, forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So that's identifying with the period of great tribulation, but then they're given to wash their robes. Of course, they became born again, and they were God's children, but then they came out of great tribulation. And tribulation continues in the church. Matthew 24:15 through 21. When ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Now, this picture, you know I was a little confused with this, and I think the conclusion to stand in the holy place is the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. That's what's standing in the holy place. So a false gospel is being, of course, declared, and it is Satan who has taken a seat in the temple. And Satan rules in the body of all unsaved men, okay? Of course, there is the kingdom of Satan, and again, that identifies with everyone that's unsaved. But we are translated when we become born again from the kingdom of this world, of the kingdom of Satan, and translated into the kingdom of heaven. So whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea, that is to be in Judea is to be in Christ. Let them who are to be in Christ flee into the mountains or to the body, Judea. The Judea identifies with the body of Christ ultimately. So let them who are in the body of Christ or in Christ flee into the mountains, the high places, the place where we can go and have a relationship with Christ outside of the church, up onto the mountaintops or up onto the housetops. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter. We saw the picture of the winter with the shipwreck. Neither be on the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day is a picture of the Jubilee of Jubilees. It's the 50th Jubilee. It's a Sabbath Jubilee. So, you know, it's seven sevens and plus one. So seven years, seven times. And then the 50th year is hallowed, in other words, and it's called the Sabbath year. Now, when we have 49 Jubilees and you go to the 50th Jubilee, then, of course, you have the Sabbath Jubilee. That's the Sabbath day. And that, of course, and that's another marker of time to let us know that we're on the right point here, because as we looked at the calendar in the beginning yesterday, last night, we saw the Jubilee of Jubilees. Came from the bringing of the law, okay, and to Christ was 10 Jubilees, and then from the birth of Christ all the way to 1994 was 39 Jubilees. The beginning of 1994 was the beginning of the 50th Jubilee. So that is the beginning of the Sabbath. So we see that time clue there, focusing in on the 50th Jubilee. which is the Sabbath Jubilee, the time when we're going to flee out of the church in that time period. It's a 50-year period. And we also saw, the fig tree and leaf, and the fig tree and leaf being in 1988, and it was an exact date of May 21st, 1988, and the beginning of the Jubilee, the 50th Jubilee, being September 6th, 1994. And when you go count the days through, it's literally exactly 2,300 days. So God has put these two markers here. We can't miss this. Anybody that's digging deep into the Bible, you can't miss this. And anybody that really wants to see this, as I mentioned yesterday, you definitely want to go read that book. It's 10 pages, which is the biblical calendar. And these studies that I'm referring to, because there's a lot more here. There's much more richness, much more to be fed in these words, which we're not going to spend that deep a time. We have studies that already get deeper into this. But this study is sufficient to a certain degree. I'm at a point where, I don't really want to get too much into these studies once we finish in Revelation. I want to get back into the gospel. And, of course, from time to time in the gospel, we're going to see things that will draw us back to the meat of due season. And we will reference the meat of due season. But I've spent a lot of time and a lot of hours putting together studies and delivering studies and open forums, talking about these things for quite a few years. And of course, this study in Revelation that we started, I think it was in September, which should come to an end in a week or two. So there's a lot of hours of study here. Okay, let's go into... let me finish reading that area here. Let him which are on the housetop not come down, take anything out of his house, neither let him in the let them which are in the fields return back to take their clothes. We've looked at all this language. The field is the going out and bringing the gospel that the church is doing. When you're out there, don't go back to the church. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And we've learned a little earlier where they eat the flesh of their children. and Satan eats our flesh. And, when we live in the flesh and being led by Satan, then of course, that's a picture of eating, being eaten the flesh, because Satan feeds off that. So Satan feeds off the flesh, and parents with their young children, bringing them a false gospel, is also eating the flesh of their children. That's the picture that's in view there. But anyway, pray that your flight be not in the winter, and neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not ever shall be. Isaiah 64, verse 10. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. And Jerusalem is the picture of the corporate body. Now again, Jerusalem is two pictures. It's the body of Christ and it's the corporate body. There's a partnership there. There's a relationship there. The Jerusalem below is the picture being of the corporate body. It's the birthing place, the place where people come to hear the gospel and become born again, hopefully. Psalm 73, 16 through 19. But when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. And this word terrors identifies with the idea of trouble. So that's an interesting picture, looking back into the church. It's very slippery places. It's interesting language. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 8. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with various or divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now we've gone through all this language, but again, we're focusing in on the timing, and that's why we're going to go through it. It's a review also of what we've already looked at and learned, and again, there's a lot more to learn. But this picture of Jannes and Jambres, these are the two individuals when Moses came to Pharaoh and to command to let his people go, let my son Israel go. And these are the two individuals that came, some high priest or whatever, the Egyptian, whatever. They came with a staff, and when Moses threw his staff on the ground, it became a snake, and they threw their staffs on the ground, and they became snakes. But Moses' staff ate up those two snakes and then became a staff again that Moses had used. So again, that's the picture that God is giving us, okay? Coming with another Jesus, coming with another gospel. To a degree, the snake also identifies with Christ to some degree, in the sense that we see the picture of the snake that is put onto the cross in the wilderness, and anybody who looked at that, this is in the days of Moses, anybody who looked upon the snake on the tree, if they were bit by a snake, they would be healed, and that of course was a picture of Christ. In the study, I may get deeper into that, the study that's being referenced to, I just don't remember. But so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us. As the day of Christ is at hand, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there become the apostasia first. The falling away is the word apostasia in the Greek, and it's the same thing as apostasy. So except there become an apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We see that the gospel has been silenced. We see that the foundation has been put another foundation. The foundation is not the cornerstone. It's not Christ. It's not the rock of our salvation. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they shall all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, so here's a verse I bring up often, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Okay, so there's quite a few things we see what's going on the outside in the world. A little while ago we saw nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and that real reference is spiritual. Remember, everything in the Bible is concerned with spiritual things, not worldly things, not earthly things, but with spiritual things. And God uses earthly language to express and explain those spiritual things. That's what God teaches us in the Gospels concerning the parables. And so nation against nation identifies with the denominations. Kingdom against kingdom identifies with the kingdom of Satan rising up against the kingdom of God. But I think a part of that strong delusion we also see in the world, nations against nations, and we can see kingdom against kingdom. We see the woke movement and all these other things that are going on that are demoralizing our children and the people, and what's going on in Hollywood and what people are feeding themselves on all of this stuff, movies and music and different things. We can see that the kingdom of Satan, you know, we're in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so people, of course, seeing that, read the Bible and interpret that being the thing to a degree that it is, of course, true, that it's to some degree representing what's going on spiritual, of course. But the other thing on that, so it's representing what's going on spiritual thing, but the thing is God sending them strong delusion and that they should believe a lie. So that's one of them. I'm going to try to make a list of these strong delusions. And as we go along, maybe I'll just make a note of it. Let me write this down. Okay. Let's go back up here now. We're going to now look at the depart out, the picture of come out of her. Now, come out of her, my people. And also the days shorten and double portion. That's what we're going to read about here in Revelation 18. And for more in-depth understanding, you can listen to the audio study, Days Shortened. It's a four-part study, again, found on our Bible study page. Revelation 18, verses 1 through 23. And after these things, I saw another angel or messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried with a mighty voice, with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, is falling, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth, the leaders of the churches, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partners or partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Now that double, that's the picture of the double we're talking about. And again, for a more deeper appreciation of this, the Day Shortened study should really give a lot of insight on this. And it's a four-part study, so that means it's about 4 hours. And so the double according, again, the beginning of tribulation, the beginning of judgment, the beginning of great tribulation, let's say, and the beginning of judgment was 1994, and it goes all the way through to depart out. Depart out started in 2001. And it's a period of time from 2001 to 2011. And at 2011, now at that point, the church is desolate. Christ is gone. He's removed his people. The Holy Spirit is gone out of the church. And now you have desolation. In 1 hour is she made desolate. That's the hour that God refers to. Okay? And he breaks it into two parts. And there's the half hour of silence. And then the other half hour is the depart out time period. So in 1 hour is she found or made desolate. So by 2017, as we come to 2017, we get the picture of really the judgment upon Leviathan or upon nations, both cases. And so that would be the double portion. I believe we can appreciate the double portion from 2011 through the end of the world. That's the second part, the double portion. So there's continued, stress within the churches. So let's go back and reread this last couple of verses and continue here. Behold, reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her work. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. And, you know, when we read this kind of language here, it really makes me to think about the fact that, you know, people think that they're saved. They act like they're saved. They talk like they're saved. At least they do in church. When they go out for the next 6 days, before they come back again on another Sunday, they're right out there in the world. And I think deep down inside, most people realize that they have a problem with God. Things do, because they don't have that peace that goes beyond understanding. So they feel, I'm sure they feel, I know when I came to Christ and was going to church, as much as I was getting into the Word and seeking out salvation and trying to understand things, I also didn't have that feeling, that peace that goes beyond understanding. I also knew that I wasn't saved. Okay, at some point in time, I realized I was saved. I was on a road, on a path to salvation. I was in my Bible. I was trying to do the right thing, but I didn't recognize myself as being saved yet. That took time. And I think a lot of people in the church, and nobody, who knows who's saved? Nobody knows. Nobody can know another man's heart. Unfortunately, most people don't even know their own hearts. You know, the hearts of men is desperately wicked. Who could know it? Because when you get to know your own heart, you're going to start really crucifying the flesh, mortifying the flesh, crying out for mercy, repenting, praying to God, create in me a new heart, renew a right spirit in me. And that is the way of Christian. But in the churches, that's not the way of Christian. And again, they've gone, most of them gone away from hell. There is no more preaching and teaching in hell. You know, I did a study on hell. And I did a study on, what was the other one? Annihilation. Because there was a time period, and unfortunately, a lot of people who were following the truth fell into this trap. And I don't know what relationship they have with God. I mean, that's between them and God. I can't know the heart of another individual. But some of these people have fallen into that trap of annihilation, thinking that people are going to be annihilated. And there was a lot of teaching going on some years back on this. So I did some studies on that. I did a study on annihilation, and I did this, and I think they're both about 2 hours long. And there was a Q&A, I think, in one. I think an annihilation study was 2 hours long. And it was a Q&A on that one. And the hell, the picture of hell was an hour long. There was no open forum on that one. But they are up on our page, and I strongly suggest people to take a look at that, especially if people who are thinking that there is no hell. I can assure you, there is an eternity in hell. It's not what people think, and it's not that we can have a picture, really know what's in the heavens above or under the earth below, figurative language, in eternity with heaven and eternity in hell. We don't really know. We have figurative language, and it's horrible figurative language. And again, people talk about being tortured. Hell is not about being tortured. That's not what's in view. And again, I strongly suggest that people maybe take a listen to those studies hell is one, of course, and annihilation is the other. Okay, so let's pick back up here. Let's go back here. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I'm the queen. I sit the queen. I'm not a widow. I'm not going to see any sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. And she shall be utterly burned, utterly judged with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city. For in 1 hour, there is the picture of that 1 hour. Anytime you see 1 hour, you can consider it possibly as the hour of judgment. That there are other places where God refers to as an hour. You know, remember when Christ was going to the cross the night before, he was in the garden and praying, and he asked that they would just stay and pray with him for an hour. I think God said an hour, but there's a few places in the Bible. But when you look at the context, you'll know what hour is in view. Obviously, here it's clear. This is the hour of desolation, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and of silver and of precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company of the ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood far afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich and all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel or messenger took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voices of the harpers and musicians and the pipers and the trumpeters, that's the gospel, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft be he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For the merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. You know, again, you know, these studies sometimes to some degree, especially people in church are having a hard time, you know, to look at these things. But if they look, it becomes quite clear. I mean, the language is constant and consistent that there's trouble in the churches. And especially here at the end of the world, and that the great apostasia has come. Jeremiah 16, verse 18. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. Matthew 24. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since from the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Now, we've gone through this. We've gone through this before. And, okay, so in the days that should be shortened and no flesh be saved, and we have looked at this before, but the days being shortened is the period, the Great Tribulation is to go between 1994 all the way up to 2017, or at least up to 2011. But I think 2017 is probably the right picture. And the days being shortened is for us, the believers. Why? Because there's no flesh being saved. The church is not going to be saved. People in the church are not going to be saved. Outside of the church, different story. But in the church, no flesh shall be saved. And for that purpose, there's no reason for the body of Christ to continue in the church. So they're to come out. They stayed in there only long enough in order to bring judgment upon that church and to depart out the declaration of that judgment. And that, of course, has already passed. Okay, so no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened, for the elect only. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall sow signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's rhetorical. If it were possible, it's not possible, in other words. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So the church, from the standpoint of an earthly-minded individual looking at the church, won't see this effect, won't see the problems. But down inside, deep down inside, they know, at least for their own, in their own case, that they don't have that peace that God gives them, that gives his children, a peace that goes beyond our understanding. So behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert place, or the desert, and that's the place with no water, that's the church, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, that's in the mind of man, teaching the things of the flesh. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, so let's take a look now at desolation. Now, desolation is between 2011 and 2017. And we're going to be looking at watches. There's four watches. We're going to be looking at the trumpets. All of these are going to give us pictures. We're going to look at the seven trumpets and the three woes. And all of these is going to give more information and more pictures of this specific time periods. And as we put all this together, you know, we'll start to see that these time periods appear. This is what's going on during this time period, all the things that we're talking about here, whether it be the depart out, the desolation, the beginning of sorrows, and then eventually the judgment upon Leviathan. So let's look at desolation. And again, desolation, that's the period between 2011 and 2017. But it also continues on all the way to the end of the world, really. But in 2017 is when Leviathan is beginning to be judged, and the nations of the world, the judgment is beginning upon them. And that, of course, is building up. And, you know, that we can see what's going on. That's looking out into the world, the judgment upon the nations, and judgment upon Leviathan, the kingdom of Satan. Remember, Satan's kingdom is in this world, and God is referring out into the world concerning the kingdom of Satan. That judgment has come. And Isaiah 14 is a real good picture and a lot of good information on that language. Okay, desolation. This is the fourth watch, which we'll look at the watches later. The abomination of desolation. Let's see how much is in here. Okay. We read, for a more in-depth understanding, you listen to the audio study, Abomination and Wicked Revealed, again, found on our Bible study page, on our Bible studies. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the falling away, the apostasy, and that man's sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I know we're repeating some of these verses, and again, each one of these different sections gives us more information so that we can get a better understanding of what's going on. And besides that, redundancy is really good, because the more and more we go through verses, it sticks into our memory. And that's what we really need to be sharing when we share the gospel, as much verses as we can. Matthew 24:15 and 16, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them who are in Judea, who are in Christ, flee into the mountains, flee to the Bible, flee to the Word." Mark 13:11 through 14, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak." And this is what we've been studying in the book of Revelation. This is the meat of this season. These are the things that he has given us to speak. "That you speak, ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." But when you see, and again, you know, lots of people, even that have come out of the church, have fallen away. And some of them also, I wouldn't say a lot of them, but some of them. And I don't know lots or some. I can say some for sure. I don't have any idea in percentages or anything. But I have experienced it. I have seen it. And even those who have believed in powerful doctrines that have been, you know, we've seen in the Bible for 2,000 years that have been taught in the churches, all of a sudden, like, no longer preaching hell. Jesus loves you. Don't preach hell no more. Annihilation instead of the eternal soul someplace in eternal darkness, whatever that exactly is. Again, it's horrible language, but it certainly is not torture, but there is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. They don't have no rest, and sometimes people follow a man instead of God. And I've been around a lot of great teachers by God's mercy, and sometimes teachers go astray and they teach a bad doctrine, and then men follow that instead of following what they should be following. And that too is some testing, and I've seen that happen, where people have fallen because a good teacher all of a sudden taught something wrong. And we're talking about serious doctrinal errors. Now, how all that works out and everything, I don't know. That's not my business. That's up to God. But we have to be careful that we don't follow a man. We have to be following God. And we have to constantly be checking whatever it is that we're teaching people, whatever it is that we're sharing with people. And because someone says something that you know is a really good teacher and really has done their homework, and then they talk about things and you don't really have a good understanding of it, but then you accept it because a good teacher taught you that, well, that's something you don't want to do. And I've learned that a long time ago. I'm not going to receive anything until I can clearly see it in the Bible. And when I can clearly see it in the Bible, that's when I'll agree or disagree. And I have disagreed with some, you know, really great teachers. You know, where their souls had ended up and their relationship with God, you know, I have hope for them and pray for them. But that's God's business and their business, not my business. Okay, let's see where we were. Um, should have highlighted it. Okay, we're reading about not premeditating, so on and so forth. Okay, I believe the abomination of desolation. I think we're picking up in Revelation 17, 3 through 5. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and the Abomination of the World. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars, above the believers of God, above God's children, above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the corporate body, in the sides of the north, at the end of the world. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. 2 Kings chapter 23, 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Jeremiah 13:27. I have seen thine adulteries and thy neighings. And that neighing identifies with whining, impatience for battle or lust. Okay, the lewdness of the whoredom and the abominations on the hills and the field. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it be? It once be. And of course, it's at the end of the world, the abomination of desolation. Woe unto Jerusalem, the Jerusalem below, the earthly Jerusalem. Jeremiah 32:33-35. And they have turned unto me the back, and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instructions. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Daniel chapter 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate. And that 1 week, again, is a picture of a time period. It's a clue here. That 1 week, in 1 week. We're also going to look at the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. Again, figurative language of 70 weeks being really 70 years. But we're going to look at that a little later. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And what is it that's going to cease is the bringing forth of the gospel. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, the abomination of desolation. It's the Satan taking a seat in the temple. Even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Till it's totally consumed. And then that determination shall be poured upon the desolate, where Christ no longer is with them. Daniel 11:31. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily, or the daily sacrifice. In other words, the word. Christ is our daily. Every time we have a sin, we go right to him, and we confess that sin. We cry out to mercy to teach us and to help us to resist the devil. And the Bible does tell us, resist the devil, and he will depart from you. You know, so any sin you have, that's a promise. It may be difficult to overcome those sins, but we resist them. Resist that devil. And I know for me, eventually the devil flees from me. But he does return from time to time, and you have to be ready for that. Okay, and they shall place the abomination that make it desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be he corrupt with by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, and by the flame, and by captivity, and by spoil many days. And I've spoken about that. And even some that have come out again. But anyway. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall, and to try them, and to purge them, and to make them white. And that is my hope for those who have fallen. Especially, and again, you know, I've been around a lot of blessed teachers, people who really have done homework in the Bible. Good, solid students of the Bible, and yet some of them have fallen. And right here, God tells us that some will. Some of them of understanding shall fall. And for what purpose? To try them, to purge them. They need more purging. Purging out of the old sin, purging. And to be tried, and to find that, wait, maybe I'm not saved, or I've gone astray, or, to be tried in the fire. And the trying is for you. God already knows the end results of all of us. He's not trying us to see how things are going to go for us. No, he's trying us so that you can see where you're at, where your situation is, to try them and to purge them and to make them white, even to the time of the end, to bring them back unto understanding and repentance, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. The daily sacrifice, the word daily is the word tamid, and it's the continuous, the constant, the regular, the sacrifice, the always, the continual, the daily, the evermore, the perpetual. Christ is our daily. Christ is our continual light, the light of the truth by his word. He is the sacrifice. He is the continual. He is the daily. He is the evermore perpetual. So that's what the daily sacrifice is. Ezekiel 46:15, thus shall they prepare the lamb and the meat offering and the oil every morning for a continual, the tamid, burnt offerings. Daniel 11:13, yea, he magnifieth himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the tamid was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and a host was given him against the daily, the tamid, by reason of the transgression, and it is cast down to the cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking with another saint, saying, that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the tamid and the transgression of desolation? The abomination, the desolation, to be given both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under the foot. And of course, we read a little earlier, it's 2,300 days. So the sanctuary, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot. And remember, and there again is this was a big problem. Even with people who have left the church, and this was one of the problems anyway, and that was that someone started teaching something about eliminating hell, which is what the corporate churches had done. And And that was one of the problems. And, you know, remember, we read here to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under the foot. When the salt loses its saltness, it's good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men. The Gentiles will trodden under the foot. The word Gentiles identifies with the nations of the world. The nations. It's not Israel. It's in the nations of the world. Israel is a separate nation. You know, Christ's name is Israel. We read about that in Exodus, where you know God tells Moses and Aaron to tell Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my son. That's the first message, by the way. Let my son Israel go. And that was Christ. And that was the body of Christ that is in view. That is the picture there. And they're trodden underfoot. When you don't bring that salt, it's worthless. The gospel is going to be destroyed. There is no fear of God. Men shake their angry fist, you know. People who have never come under the hearing of God have no concern for these things, and they will shake their angry fist at God in total ignorance, of course. But where the gospel goes, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. Proverbs chapter 1. Okay, Daniel 11:31. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the tamid, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. It's where the tamid was, the daily. And from the time, in Daniel 12:11, and from the time that the daily, the tamid, shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So there is a picture of the 1,290 days, which we looked at a little earlier, and we saw the calendar there. Okay, Leviticus 24, verse 2. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light. That oil is that pure oil is identifies with the Holy Spirit. And that would bring, you put it into the lamps to burn, the continual, to bring forth the light of the gospel, the word of God, the tamid. To cause the lamp to burn continually without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening on to the morning before the Lord tamid continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord tamid continually. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. Two tenths deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. Okay. Now, six we know identifies with man, so it's the feeding of man to become born again, of course. And we know two identifies again with the church. Could be corporate body, could be the spiritual body. Okay, we may come to an end here. Let's see. Scroll this up a bit. Okay, let's go back up to the top and see where we're at here. Okay, nations, Leviathan, Judges. I think it's going to take a little while to get through. I don't think. Let's see what, how much time we have. All right, this is a short one. Let's go through this. It's coming up on 9 o'clock, but I had to break away a couple of times. So let's go through this, and we'll get the full hour in at least. Leviathan, nations judged. And for a more in-depth understanding, listen to the audio study, Beast and the Sea and Beast. Found again at on our website under the Bible studies. Isaiah 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel. Now, why is he going to have mercy on Jacob? Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. When in the womb, they were twins. And but Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So that's a picture of being of the flesh and becoming born again. So Jacob is the picture of who we are, you know, identifying with mankind, and then become born again. So I think what God is saying here is that when he says, for Jacob shall have mercy on, that the Lord have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel. I think that's an interesting picture, that there is something. You remember the thief on the cross? Okay, he came to no knowledge of anything. But maybe he did. Maybe he had heard Jesus preaching. So who knows where that is. But we do see that miracle immediately when Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in my kingdom." But Jacob is a picture of someone who is one of God's elect, but has not yet become saved yet. And I don't know if there are going to be people, maybe there are people at the end of the world that have not actually become born again, maybe, but they are God's elect and they haven't had the time because it's the end of the world. I don't really know how that works. It's just a possibility or a presumption of mine, really. So it's not, I can't prove that in the Bible, at least I can't think of any way I can prove that in the Bible. But anyway, Jacob is a picture of us before we become saved. Israel is a picture of us. Now we become, you know, identified with Christ, with Israel. We become part of the nation of Israel. We're the body of Israel, the body of Christ. So for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them. And who are the strangers? You know, the strangers. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. So the house of Jacob is the corporate body, but it's the people in the corporate body that are God's elect. And then there are strangers in there. And they've cleaved onto Jacob because they hear a message here. And the people shall take them and bring them in their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for the servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captive, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. So who would be the oppressors? The oppressors would be the strangers. And again, this is a picture in this world. This is a picture now of the New Testament era, when the body of Christ, which is Israel, will rule over Jacob and those who cleave to Jacob and keep them with an iron rod, the law. The picture of the iron rod is the law. And keep them under the law. And the fear of God, you know, is the beginning of wisdom and understanding, the bringing forth of the doctrine of hell and damnation, to be lost forever, to be cast into outer darkness, to be told, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you," to be separated from the body. You know, and God gives so many pictures of this. But anyway, again, it's earthly stories to express something spiritual. We don't exactly know what hell is at all. So, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrows and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve, it's during the great tribulation, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. That's Satan, the king of Babylon, and say, "How hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the sceptre of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nation in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet." Now judgment, this is judgment coming upon Leviathan. This is judgment upon the nations of the world. And again, those of us who have looked into these things and have seen, you know, the New World Order, which is Leviathan, the rulers of this world, those who bring all kinds of horrible, you know, just horrible things. The whole earth is at rest. Satan is finally, you know, judged and suppressed and destroyed to a degree as far as working, because the nations have been judged and now literal judgment day will come when God will cast them into the eternal flame. So the whole earth is at rest at some point and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees identify with people, rejoice at thee. And the cedars also identifies with people of Lebanon, saying, "Since thou art laid down," of no fella. And a fella is someone who takes down a tree. They fall trees, a fella. No fella, no tree cutter has come up against us. No one's come to cut these trees down anymore. You know, he was cutting them down. Let's go back. Yea, the fir trees rejoice in thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, this is Satan. Satan is now laid down. No tree cutter, no fellow has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead. Judgment day is near. For thee, even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the whole world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And remember, we were prisoners in there for a period of time during the Great Tribulation. But all those other people are in there, they're all prisoners of Satan. They're in a prison. And they can't even escape, because this verse is where God speaks about putting a leopard out there. And when they run out of the city to escape, the leopard devours them. You know, again, these are people all under judgment, under God's judgment. But just to step back a little bit here, we read, this is clearly Satan, and God refers to him as a man, because Satan works in the hearts of men. You know, Satan does his best work, of course, in the most evil of peoples, and that's where he's living and reigning. Satan lives and reigns in the hearts of unsaved men, just as Christ lives and reigns in the hearts of those who are saved. And when we're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, we're born again, creating me a new heart, renew a right spirit in me. We have a new focus, a new way, and that way is Christ, the way of Christ. So going back also, I wanted to look at something else here. The ground weaken the nations, I will send up the heaven, the stars. Okay, here it is, verse 16. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying. Now, this picture of the, and when you get into the Hebrew here, narrowly looking upon in consideration, this is a picture of like in a court of law. In other words, he's being judged. He's being looked at narrowly, focused in on every part of all the evil of who he is. And of course, this is Leviathan that we're talking about here. And this is Leviathan ruling the nations, and he's being removed from his power and authorities. And the nations will sing out and rejoice. Even people who are unsaved, of course, the world's going to rejoice. You know, God speaks about it as a time when peace, when man says peace and safety at last. And then this destruction comes at that point. Okay, so this is the picture of the judgment upon Leviathan, the judgment of nations. And remember, God taught us that judgment begins in the house of God. And the house of God was the person of Jesus Christ himself as he hung on the cross. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And of course, they didn't understand that. He's the temple of the Lord. So that's the house of God. And now, when we become born again, we become the house of God. And we read and bring the gospel to the house of God in a corporate sense, the corporate church. Now, we've already been judged in the body of Christ. And we're bringing a message to the corporate church. And now the corporate church is in a situation where they're being judged. Okay, because that's the house of God. And that takes us through the Great Tribulation, the apostasia, and so on. And all these things we've been looking at. So let's read this verse, the last again, and then finish off on this chapter. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities of God thereof, and the world too, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings and of the nations, even of them, all of them lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under foot or feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial. And that's a picture of being joined with Christ in burial. We're buried with Christ and therefore resurrected again. And that's identifying with the soul to be buried with Christ and rose again, to put off the old man and be born again, to put on the new man, creating me a new heart. But thou shalt not be joined with them in burial. They will not be buried with Christ in his salvation. Because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seeds of the evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. And that world with cities identifies, of course, with the cities of God, identifying with the churches, okay? That'll happen no more. But also, I do believe that this is a picture of filling the world with cities worldwide, because that is the picture of Leviathan. That is the picture of the New World Order. What they want to do is fill the cities with the evil cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name, the remnant, the son, the nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bitten and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom. Well, that word is broom. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nation. And I think that is the key right there, this verse here, that really relates to us, that we're talking about the whole earth, the whole creation. Okay. Upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died, was this burden. Rejoice not, thou whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. Okay, and a cockatrice is a poisonous snake. And I think the flying, and the fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. You know, that may be a picture of the church. I'm not too sure on that. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. And I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina. Are dissolved, for there shall come from the north, the ends of the world, a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. That what shall one then answer the messengers of the nation? That the Lord hath found Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it. Okay, I think that's going to bring us to the end for tonight. We're going to pick up on this next week and look at the judgment day. And then we're going to get into a lot more details. We're going to go back to what we just looked at as far as looking at these different time periods, the church age, the fig tree, which is a 40-year period, the beginning of sorrows, 2,300 days, the great tribulation, a 7-year period, come out of for my people over a course of 10 years, a desolation for a 6-year period. But it continues on beyond that because it becomes the second portion. Okay, the nation, Leviathan, is judged starting in 2017. It'll go to the end of the world until man says peace and safety at last, and then the destruction. That judgment day is here then. And we don't know what day that's going to be. I'm pretty confident in saying it's going to be sometime from 2025 and after. So it could be a year, could be a month, could be many months, could be a couple. I have no clue. You know, when you look at these time periods, you know, I have no clue. But we do know, man says peace and safety. We better be watching at that moment. And it may not come in a day or a week or a month, but we better be watching because it's coming. And it is here. It is even at the doors. And God refers to this time period from 2017 onward as the beginning, as the last trump begins to sound. So there's a period of time. It begins to sound. Okay? And we'll see what's going on at that point because God will people will say peace and safety at last. Leviathan has been taken down and destroyed. They won't understand that, but we will. Nations have been judged, and they've been brought down and suppressed. Okay, so we'll pick up on Judgment Day. We're going to look at the horses, the four horsemen. We're going to look at the seals. We're going to look at the trumpets. And we try to find out where in this calendar it belongs. Okay, so we have a lot more homework to do. So I do see we're going to be at least both Wednesday and Thursday of next week, and we may be, I think we probably will be another week for that before we end this study. And then the following week we'll move into probably Matthew, as I mentioned. We'll start off in chapter 5 and looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, with that, good night to Lord Willem. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.